Today's Shir's Masechta, Mayukot and Daf Yod. We will begin on Daf Yod Amun Aleph, the first words on the Amid. We learned in the Mishnah, a hedget chayfe kadarkai, a chalamoid, a hedget could sow in a normal fashion. And this is a very interesting chiddush, points out the Rishonim. Because when we speak about Hilcha Shabbos, certainly there is no difference between a hedget and a umen. Whatever a hedget can't sow just because he's not a professional on Shabbos. Moreover, we're speaking here, point out to Rishonim, that we're speaking here about an individual where it's a situation of a Dover Ovid. Because if it's not the Dover Ovid, or it's not the Tzorech HaMoed, the Halach is we would not be allowed to sow. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Dami Hedget. Exactly what does that mean? What is the definition of a hedget? Armid by Rabbi Yanai, Kol Shana Yochel Lahotzi M'maymach B'Basachas. A person who, when he sews, makes a number of stitches, and if he's a professional tailor, he's able to give one draw, one schlep, and everything comes out perfectly. But if he's an individual who's unable to sew in such a fashion, he is not considered a hedget. Tosfos points out that if somebody's clothing or shoes are torn and he needs them for yontif, he's allowed to fix them with a shinui, just like we're learning here that he shouldn't sew in a normal fashion. And then Tosfos quotes the Rabbeisav. What would happen, he says, the Rabbeisav of Tosfos discussed, we have an individual who has a torn shoe, a torn garment. And he's going to leave it that way without repairing them, they're going to get worse. Is that considered a Dover Ovid, that you could do whatever you need to do, even without a Shinui, or is a Shinui required? So the Rabbis of the Rebbe's of Tosfos required that even on such situation, it's not considered a full-fledged Dover Ovid, and since it's not considered a full-fledged Dover Ovid, then the halacha is you should do it with shinui. Of course, says the Mishnah Brura, even when we're lenient and saying that you could sew it with a shinui when they're torn, and if they're going to get torn worse, it'll be even more of an issue, says the Mishnah Brura, that's only in a situation where you need to wear the shoes on Chalamoid, or you need to wear the shoes on Yontif. But if you could wait to use and wear the shoes or this clothing after Yontif, that is preferable. Rav Yosef Chanina Amar, what is the definition of a hedget? Kol she'en yichol chavan imrim b'cheifes chalukai. They used to put a piece of material on the bottom of the clothing to serve as a hem. And that if that piece of clothing would get rubbed out, it would not mean that the entire garment was rubbed out. And that somebody who is unable to sew on that piece of material on the bottom of his clothing, that's considered a hedget. There's a machloikus rishonim. If the two explanations are what we just learned in the Gemara, or what is the definition of a hedget, represent the machloikus, or are they just two different definitions? Rabbeinu Yeruchim and the Rif are of the opinion that there's really no machloikus. Everybody just gave a different example. The Rosh says that there is a machloikus, and therefore the Rosh says a very interesting psak. He says, if there's somebody who's an expert in one of the two different types of sewing that we just learned in the Gemara, then he can't be considered a hedget, because we don't know which is the real definition of hedget. But the question is, why is the Rosh paskling that way? Don't we have a rule? Sveika d'Rabbanan l'kula. So here it's a suffix. Which is the proper definition of a hedget, and we should go lekula, says the Mishnah Melech. The only time we apply the concept of Safed Rabbana lekula is if we will at least have some sort of clarity. Here, if we're going to keep on taking the lenient opinion and keep on saying because of Safed Rabbana lekula, we're not going to consider this person a hedget in any fashion, then we're going to end up that everybody will be a hedget. And there, in such a circumstance, we don't apply the rule of Sekhid Rabbanan Lekula. We learned further, the Umen Machlev, the Uman, the professional tailor, has to sew with a shinui. Ask the Gemara, my machlev. What is the definition of machlev? Rav Yochanan ben Mafsia. He makes wide stitches. He doesn't make the stitches near each other. Rather, he separates space between the stitches, just like, and the reason it's called machlev is like a dog, because the dog's teeth are separate from each other. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Shinei Kabalsai. He doesn't put the needle in a straight line. The stitches that he makes are not straight, and that's the definition of machlev. We learned in the Mishnah that Misaginas Amitos, we're allowed to do Sirug, and we're going to be discussing this extensively, that we're allowed to do Sirug Amitos for Tzarech Moed, and Rabbi Yossi said, we're allowed to do Mematchim. So immediately asked the Gemara, my Misagim, or my Matchim, what are the definition of these two different activities? Says the Gemara, Kasser of Dimi, Amma, when Rav Dimi came, he said, there's a machloikis, pligibar Rabbi Chibar Abba Rabasi, v'tavayu mishmei d'cheski v'Rabbi Yochanan. They have a machloikis in the name of these tanoim, what is pshat of the Mishnah? Chan Amma Masargin, this that the Tanakama allowed for Masargin, is shesi v'erev. In those days, the beds were made out of straps, and to take those straps and put them along the frame of the bed in the both directions, that's the definition of Masargin. And the definition of Mematchin is Shesi B'loy Erev. Only to put the straps towards the length of the bed, but not to put any straps to the width of the bed. V'chad Amri, and the other man, Dharma, says that the definition of Masargin is Shesi B'loy Erev, to put straps in the length without any width. Mematchin, and the definition of Mematchin, Shemhoi Rofui, that you already had the straps there on the bed, mematchoy, you're allowed to strengthen them, make them tighter, that you are allowed to sleep on them. Ask the Gemara in Eni, is that the proper shot in the machloikis? V'tanir av tachlifa b'ashol, v'shoven, says, we learned in the Braisa, the both of Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, who disagreed in our Mishnah about how to set up a bed, everybody agreed, she'em avshilin, one can't make long new straps. One can't make new straps on Cholamoid. Says the Gemara, Bishlal Mandama, Misargin, Ishesiv Eriv. According to the Mandama that says that you're allowed to take the existing straps and put them onto the length and the width. And Mematchim means to do Shesi Bloy Eriv, to do the length without the width. Haina Dektani, that we can now understand where Rav Tachlif Bashol taught us the Shavin that everyone is in agreement. We're not allowed to make the ropes in the first place. Because even though the Tanakhama lets us put the ropes on to the length and the width, the Rav Yossi lets us put them on to the length, they both agree that one may not make ropes in the first place. Eleman Domer asked the Gemara that the definition of Mesargin is Shesi B'loy Erev, only the length without the width. And Mematchin only allows us, Rabbi Yossi held, the Mahayi Rafui, if the straps were on the bed, on the bedpost, weak, Hayi Mematchin, you could tighten it. Hashtag. So ask the Gemara, if according to this interpretation, Shesi V'erv Amrit Loi, you're not allowed to even do length and width of existing strope is usur. So chavol mechatchil maboye, is there need to tell us that you're not allowed to make the rope in the first place? So that, how would that interpretation of the Mishnah be able to understand this braisa? Kasha, says the Gemara, that indeed is a kasha. So as we've learned many times, there's a difference when the Gemara uses the word kasha, when the Gemara uses the word tiyufta. When the Gemara uses tiyufta, there's no answer to the question. When the Gemara uses the word kasha, there's an answer. And the Ritva suggests, what is the answer? That maybe when you have existing ropes, so Chazal were makbid to try to use the ropes in the least, in a fashion that you have to do the least tircha. But if you don't have ropes at all, and as we have been describing, if you don't have ropes at all, you don't have a bed to sleep on. So maybe we would think that even though what we're allowed to do with the existing ropes is very minimal, still, it's better but still may be mutter and may be permitted to make the ropes. Teaches us the Braisa that not only are we limited in how we could put on existing ropes, but we're also limited in how that we may not make the ropes. Says the Gemara. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Rav Yochai bar Avin. Mikol Aman Dama Masargin. Is there anyone that defines Masargin as Shesi B'lai Erev, just doing the ropes to the length and not to the width? For Tanan, Ramei Omer, Hamita. When we speak about a bed, it's a Mishnah Masech the Kalim, Perik Tazai Mishnah Aleph, discusses a bed is a Kaili. And as we often discuss, a Kaili is Makabel Tuma. And the question is, at what point is a bed considered a bed that it's Makabel Tuma? Mishiyisrig Boy. Once we put on the ropes, Shloi Shabbatim, there should be three places that on the bed that we have rope that goes lengthwise and widthwise. And that makes a bed into a bed. So we see that the definition of a sargon includes both the length and the width. So ask the Gemara, how could there be anyone that would suggest that a sargon only means the length and not the width? Says the Gemara, Al-Kiyasa Ravin Omer. Misargin, when it comes to define the word Misargin, Kuleyama Pligi, everybody agrees that the definition of Misargin is Shesiv Erev, to put on beds, to put on rope that goes in the length and the width. Al-Ki Pligi, the machloikis that we're having over here is regarding what is the definition of Mematchin. Mar Sover, one of them held Mematchin, Shesiv Loy Erev, the length without the width, or Masover, that the definition is Shemay Rafui, that if it's not on the bed side, not on the bedpost, in a tight fashion, Mematcha, you could tighten it. Meisvei. So ask the Gemara, according to the way we learned the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi only allows Mematchin. It says, ask the Gemara, we learned in a Braisa. The Braisa says, Masagnes Amita, we're allowed to do sirug, vein tzarich lema, shememadchin devar meir. According to Rameya, we're allowed to do masagin, and certainly we're allowed to do mematchin. Rabbi Yosef mematchin, we're only allowed to do mematchin, avala masagin. V'yesh amrim, ein mematchin kol iku, we're not allowed to do mematchin. So the Gemara explains its question. Bishlam l'mandom mematchin, shesi b'lei oilerv, that the definition of mematchin means putting into the length this ropes without the width. Hanid asu yesh oimrim, so we could understand the opinion of the yesh oimrim laflugi, and says that we're not allowed to put the ropes on in any fashion. We only could tighten existing ropes. El manda omer, according to manda omer, that says the definition of a matchin only means shemay rofi, that if it's weak, a matchin we're allowed to tighten it. The yesh oimrim, so then the yesh oimrim was going to say that a matchin nameloi, that you're not allowed to even tighten it. Why should one not be allowed to tighten it? You can't sleep on a bed if you don't have straps that are usable to sleep on. Answers the Gemara, in. This man, Dhamma, will say that even tightening is prohibited. Why? Kiven del efshalom amal b'mani, we could take the spaces and not need to do any real activity of tying or tightening. We could just fill it up with different materials, with blankets and pillows, and therefore anything extra, even just tightening it, represents a tircha. And as we're learning throughout our masechta, loy tachinen tirchas asur on yontif. Says the Mishnah, mamidin tana v'karayim. We could put up a different types of ovens on yontif because we need them for cooking and baking, which of course permissible on yontif and a chol hamoed. Richayim. We're also allowed to put up a mill. Again, the mill is something that they need to make the flour, and therefore it may be done on Yontif. However, the Rishonim point out, this that we're discussing, that we're allowed to put up a ton of karayim, is only putting them up. But what about building them in the first place? According to Rashi, that one is allowed to even build them. Because again, you need an oven to bake and cook on Yontif. Tosfos says that that's not permissible. All we're talking about is taking your existing oven, and what are you allowed to do with your existing oven? But to go make an oven, everybody would agree is also, according to Taisus. Rav Yehuda Amar, Ein Mechapshin Es Rechaim B'Tchila. We're not allowed to do Mechapshin, the Gemara is going to explain, we're not allowed to do Mechapshin on Chol HaMoed. Ask the Gemara, my Mechapshin. So right away the Gemara jumps in and asks, what is the definition of Mechapshin that we just discussed in the Gemara? Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Amar, Menachah Rechaya. What used to happen was that the way the mill worked is that you had the stones and the grain was put in and the stones rubbed against the grain and that's what caused the grain to get ground. But if you use the stones often, they become smooth. And once they become smooth, they can't effectively mill the grain. So what this means is, Menachah Rechaya, is you take a hammer and you start knocking on these stones so they're not smooth anymore. Once they're not smooth, they're usable as a mill. Rav Yechilimer, the definition is bas eina. You have to have a hole where you're going to pour the grain into. Making the hole, that the definition of mechapshin is to make the hole. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, the Brisa says, Mamidin tanur v'karayim b'mayid. You're allowed to set up the oven on Yontif, a Chol HaMoed, uvach lo yigma melachtem. We're not allowed to put them firmly, make a real act of binyan. Divrei, Rebbe Lezer, v'chay ma'amrim af yigmar. You're allowed to put them in the most permanent fashion. Rebbe Yehuda Amar Mishmoy, Rebbe Yehuda quoting Rebbe Lezer holds, ma'amidim as chadosha, a new oven may be put down, u'mechapshin as yishona. But on an old oven, you're allowed to do mechapshin. Yesh Amrim, a mechapshin kol ikar. So we have a question, what now, after learning this halacha regarding mechapshin, we have to see, how does it understandable after we learned the different explanations of mechapshin? And the Gemara elaborates. Bishlom l'manda mechapshin menak rechaya, according to the Manda Omer that holds that the definition of mechapshin is to make the stone no longer smooth. That's why we could understand by an old oven there's going to be a problem that it's not, doesn't have grooves anymore, that's smooth. But if you're going to say that's making a hole to pour in the grain, ask the Gemara, an old mill certainly has holes where you pour in the grain. Answers the Gemara, no, that isn't a question. That what it means is kigoyim, the Kabbalah v'ruchay pei porta. Mechapshin means making the hole to pour the grain in. How could it be an old mill that doesn't have that hole? Of course, it has the hole. What it means here is, are you allowed to expand that existing hole? Says the Gemara of Huna, Shamel Hugavra, the Kumanaka Rechai B'Chol HaMoed. He saw somebody that was making these, that was taking a smooth mill and making it no longer smooth in Chol HaMoed. Amar Marhai, who's this individual who's doing this in Chol HaMoed? Eschel Gufei, he should be defiled, the Kamachel Chol HaMoed, because he's defiling Chol HaMoed. Because Savaloi, Kiyeshaimim, he holds that you're not allowed to do mechapshin on Chol HaMoed, and that's why he cursed them for doing so. Dorish Rav Choma, Noikrim Rechayim, we're allowed to do Noikrim Rechayim b'Moed. Meshum Ramei Omer, a full Susha Rochelov, the Chamash Rochelov, the animal that he rides on, Mutaloitaloit Supreme B'Chol HaMoed, we're allowed to take off, we're allowed to cut their nails on Chol HaMoed. Because if the nails are too long, their feet, their claws get stuck in the ground. And since their claws get stuck in the ground, it prevents them from being able to travel, to be able to walk properly. So when it says that Noikrim Yishon Avloi B'Chadosho, the Halach explains to Ritva what the Gemara means to say, that you're allowed to do Nikur even on a Chadosho. And it's not considered that you're making something new on Yontif. Now, our Gemara speaks about making it that you could be able to ride on the horse on Chol HaMoed. And there's a very serious discussion amongst the Paiskim under what circumstances is one allowed to ride on an animal on Chol HaMoed? Because the question that comes up, that are you only allowed to ride on an animal Chol HaMoed because you need to get something that you need for Yontif? Or are you allowed to ride on an animal just for Letzorech Tiyul? You're only riding on the animal because you want to enjoy. So from Tosfos, it seems that you're only allowed to ride on the animal when there's a Tzorech Moed, when there's a need for Chol HaMoed, when there's a need for Yontif. From the Rosh, it seems that you're allowed to ride even just for pleasure. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rosh. The Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tuf Kuf Lamed Vav Sif Aleph says that Latayil, one is allowed to ride an animal just for the enjoyment. And Mishnah Berurah says, in those days, if are you allowed to ride an animal to go visit a friend? Again, he says, in all these cases, you are allowed to ride the animal. However, the Paiskim say that even though we're allowed to ride an animal just for pleasure or just to go visit, we're only allowed to repair the animal. I guess the same halacha would be by a car. I'm only allowed to take the car for repair if I would not be able to get where I need to go without repairing it. But if I'm able to get to where I'm going without the need to repair it, I may not do so in Chol HaMoed. Av chamer d'rechaya. Again, the animal that was by the millstone that walked around and caused them to move, loy, we're not allowed to take off its nail. We're not allowed to cut the nails. Because it doesn't require that walking that far. And since it's not walking that far, the long nails are not preventing it from being able to walk. And since the long nails don't prevent it from being able to walk, there's no right to cut such nails. And the lesson from this Gemara points out for it far is that there's no one rule that fits all situations. We're learning that in certain circumstances we are allowed to cut the nails of an animal. Under certain circumstances, we may not cut the nails of the animal. Every situation has to be judged individual. Says the Gemara, Rehuda Shari Lamishko Tufra Lachamid Rechaya. Rehuda allowed them to cut the nails of the donkey that they used by the millstone. Ulokmi Rechaya, he allowed them to put the stones of the millstone one on top of the other. Ulmivna Rechaya, and to build that Rechayim. Ulmivna Amas Rechayim, to build the base, the wood that was the base of it, Ulmivni Urya, and to build a barn for his animals. Because again, if the animals won't have a place where to rest, it'll be a davar of it. Says the Gemara, Rav Shari Lisrukis Sasaya. Rav allowed them to comb the hair of a horse with a comb that had metal teeth, because even though, as the Rishonim point out, by using such a comb, it's very possible you're going to cause the animal to have a wound. Still, this is what the animal needs to make the animal look proper, and you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Or Mivne Kakiftei, to build a saddle or a pail from which the animal will eat. Or Mivne Itzdaba, or to build a brick bench to sit on. Rashi explains that kafta is a bench. And Tosfos says that itzdaba and a kaftia are two different types of benches. The Ran says that a kaftia is a bench that's made out of wood, and an itzdaba is a bench that's made out of stone. And they were used for various purposes. I saw one of the reasons that they made it was the Kohanim would stand on top of these benches, when they did Birkus Kohanim. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that even though we're being lenient, only with a Maisa Hedyot, going back to something that we discussed at the beginning of this year, but to build these benches with a Maisa Uman in a professional manner would be actually prohibited. Rav Ashara, L'mishka Dama L'Beim B'chol HaMoed. In their world, the most common way of doing a refuah was by taking out bloodletting. He said, you're allowed to bloodlet an animal in Chol HaMoed. And says the refuah, if we're allowed to do so by an animal, we certainly may do so by a human being. And the refuah and the Meiri explain that the reason we're allowed to do so, because this is done for refuah, and since it's done for refuah, the halacha is that it's considered a dover ovid. And that's why the Chaya Adam wants to suggest that we may only do so for an animal that we own and that we have the concern of a dover ovid. But if it's not for an animal, if it's for a nochri, it may be usur. I'll bring you a brisa that supports your opinion. It says in the brisa, "Makisa dam lebehema." We're allowed to do our kozos dam for an animal. Ve'ein mayne refuah lebehema. We don't withhold any refuah and if an animal b'chol moed. And as the Rishonim point out, we've learned often that the issue of doing refuah on Shabbos Yontif is a concern of Shechikas of Amonim. You may come to grind something that you're not allowed to grind. But here, where it's Chol HaMoed, we could be more lenient. Rabbi Sharol HaKakurski Kermi, he allowed people to wash linen, embroidered linen clothing. My Tama, he said, my Sahejidu. The doing so is considered a my Sahejid. And therefore, since it's a my Sahejid, since it's a ma'aseh hedyot, you're allowed to do so. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ami, Amar Chizda, Keturei Biri, the knots by the sleeves of the clothing, Aser, my time and ma'aseh umenu. To do this involves a ma'aseh umen, and a ma'aseh umen, of course, as we've learned many times, is Aser on Chol HaMoed. Amar Rava, Man the maskal ara, somebody who's clearing his property, adata the bay dori, if he's doing it to be able to thresh grain on it, the Chol HaMoed, shari. But if he's doing it adata the ara, he's doing it just to make his property better, that's usur, because that's considered like harisha and Chol HaMoed, and we've learned many times that harisha is prohibited in Chol HaMoed. Hey chidami, says the Gemara, how can we tell what is his intent? Says the Gemara, mulya b'mulya, that if he doesn't take the entire property and flatten it out, he just flattens out the places where there are piles of earth and flattens them out, or notza b'notza, or he just fills the ditches, he takes the earth around the ditch and he tries to flatten it out. That is clearly a data de beidori. He's only doing it to flatten out the ground, and that's mutter. However, shokel moly v'shad benatza. If he goes through the entire procedure of taking a ditch, of taking a pile and filling the ditch, so he's doing it with very much intention, and therefore that is osur. Vamarava. Somebody who's clearing out a piece of property from different pieces of wood or other things that are on it. Adata the tzivi, if he's doing it because he wants to collect the wood on the ground, shari, that's permissible. But if he's doing it, adata the ara, he's doing it for the purpose of working on his field, that's asur. So says the Gemara, hachidami, again ask the Gemara, how do we know what is his intention? Says the Gemara, shokel Rav Raviv, shokel Zitri, if he only takes the big pieces of wood and he leaves the small pieces of wood, so it's obvious that it's a data the TV, he's doing it for the wood and it's permissible. Shokel the Rav, because there's really no use with the small wood. But if shokel Rav Raviv Zitri, if he takes both the big and small pieces, it's obvious that he's doing it a data the arrow and it's usur. Amarava, Haiman the Pasuk Maila Ara. If somebody opens up a source of water that it should be able to enter his field, adata the kavri, if he's doing it with the intention that the fish that's going to come along with the water, he wants to catch that fish, so he needs the fish to eat the manyantif, and that's why it's shari. But if he does it adata the ara, because he wants to water his field, then, as we learned in the first Mishnah of Masechta, that's asur. Again, ask the Gemara, hey chidami, how do we know what is his intention? Says the Gemara, pasuk trei babi, if he opened up two openings, chad miloy v'chad mitatoy, that there's an entrance and an exit for the water, so that's a data dekavri. He just wants the water to pass through, and he'll take the fish, doesn't need the water. But if he only opened it, chad baba, so it's obvious that he wants the water to remain in the field, so he could use that water to water the field. It's a data d'ara, and it's asur. Vamarova, Haiman the Pashach Dikla. If somebody takes off the branches of a tree, Adata the Chavosai, if he's taking off those branches to have wood that they serve the animals to eat, that's shari. But if it's Adata the Dikla, if he's trying to make the tree should be better, that's Asur. Again, asked the Gemara, Haychidami, how do we know what is his intention? Shakakul mechadgeisa, if he takes all the branches off from one side of the tree, then it's obvious that adata de chevoso, that his intention is for the benefit of the animals, because it's not for the tree. Because if he was concerned about the tree, he wouldn't just be taking the branches from only one side of the tree. But if he takes branches, mehaigisa, from different sides of the tree, it's obvious that he's doing it adata the dikla for the benefit of the tree, which is asur. Vamarava, hani tamri techluni. If you have dates that have not been completely ripened, migzrenayu, to cut them up into two so that they should become edible on cholamoid shari, maitsinu, to put them under a hard press to make sure that the moisture goes out. And once you get the moisture expelled, it's less likely to become wormy. Usur. That's usur, because you're making it for a long-term benefit. And you're not allowed to do something for a long-term benefit. Rapapa, however, says the Gemara, kivin de matli, once your dates started to get wormy, kekamatya avidami, doing whatever you need to do to save those dates is considered a dover ovid. And as we're learning and we'll continue learning, a chalamoid, we could be lenient when we're talking about dover ovid. And the paiskim are quite lenient with a dover ovid. Vamarava, prakamatya, to do business, kalshu, even to do the slightest amount of business, a chalamoid is asur. And there's a machloikus rishonim. Why? What some Rishonim say that it's Shema Yichtov. Chazal were concerned that you may come to write if we allow you to do business. And other Rishonim say that the reason that it's Osir is even if there's not a lot of physical exertion, it's considered Tircha Yaseira. You get involved in the business, and getting involved in the business represents a Tircha Yaseira. And says the Shura Knesset Gedayla, that since there's no real malacha involved in doing business, you could do business through a nochri. The Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, quoting the Bach, say that you may not do business of Chol HaMoed even through an akum. He says, because they say that the reason we're not allowed to do business on Yontif was that somebody should remember it's Yontif and pay attention that it's Yontif, and not get involved with everything else. But if we're going to allow you to do business with a Nochri, then we've defeated the purpose. Moreover, the Rekeach says that when we say business is also on Chol HaMoed, it's only when it's done publicly. But if it's done privately, it's mutter. However, many Paiskim say that our Gemara does not make such a distinction, and therefore the halach is that business may not be done both publicly or privately. The Yeshuas Yaakov makes the following point. He says that if the concern is Shema Yachtaif, and if the concern is Shema Yachtaif, then we have to be concerned what type of writing do they write with. Because the Isser of writing on Chol HaMoed is only writing the way we write in a Sefer Torah. And if they don't write when they do business that way, then the halach is that we could be more lenient, as the Rukeach suggests. But if the issue, as we're learning that maybe, is that tircha, and the way we're defining tircha when it comes to writing is not the tircha that we've been defining all along, that there's a tircha involved, but it means that you won't be thinking about Chol HaMoed, you won't be thinking about Yontif, then it would be usur, it won't make a difference in public or private. And of course, there's a question about opening a store on Chol HaMoed. And the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuvas, actually, Shas HaTshuvas, Chasam Sofer, Ayur Chaim, Simon Aleph, is very machmer. But the Mashag, in Shas HaTshuvas Mashag, Yoredeya, Simon Chelk Aleph Yerideya Simon Chav Hey says that the reason people are lenient to on Cholamoid, an opening business, he says, because as we just learned, he uses the concept that we just discussed. Why were Chazal concerned that business should not be conducted in Chol HaMoed? They were concerned because they wanted people to spend the time in Chol HaMoed learning, davening, etc. Says the Mashag that in our world, even if one will not be allowed to open up his business, he won't spend the entire day learning and davening. He'll be doing other things. So then, that therefore, we could be more lenient if they're selling products that are usable on Chol HaMoed. There, however, the Steichemet takes a very serious position to this, and he says that one is not allowed to do any business on Chol HaMoed. And the Me'ad of Hazmanim also says that all the different Sfarim that are discussing Haterim to have a business open in Chol HaMoed is only because they can't come, they're trying to explain themselves. But what would be best is that, as we're learning now, one should avoid doing any commerce on Chol HaMoed if possible. Amar Rav Yosef Bar-Avin, however, even though we're taking this strict position regarding doing business Chol HaMoed, or Adava Ovid, if it's a situation of Adava Ovid, then it's Mutar. Now the question is, what is a Davar Ovid? If you're going to lose profit, is that considered Davar Ovid? Or only if you're going to lose from the principal? But if you're going to only lose a profit opportunity, that's not considered Davar Ovid. The Ritva says, the Tosfos' opinion is that only if you lose from the principal is it considered Davar Ovid. The Ritva seems to be a little more lenient. And he says that even if you're going to lose from profit, which is now available, and now you're not going to have that profit, it may be considered like you're losing from the principal, and we can be more lenient. Says the Gemara, Ravina Avalehu Iska, Davim Zavna B'Shita Alfi. Ravina had a business that he was selling something that was worth 6,000 shkolim, and Shaila Zuvna Basa Chol HaMoed, and he waited to sell it till after Chol HaMoed, the Zavna betrays Alfi. And the Pashup Shah in the Gemara is that by doing the right thing, you never regret doing the right thing. And what happened was, he waited for after Chol HaMoed, and he made double the profit. Says the Gemara, Ravina have a Masak Zuzi Bnei Karo de Shamsa. The people from that city owed him money. Also Kamedra of Ashi Amalei, Ma'al Mezal Inu Alayu. Am I allowed to go collect my debt on Chol HaMoed? Says the Gemara, Amalei, Rav Ashi said to him, Kivan the Ayednu Hu the Mishkach Slu, now they're available that you can be able to collect the debt. B'yoyim Achrina Lo Mishkach Slu, I'm not quite certain that they will be available at another time. It's considered Kavracha Ovidami Vishari. Says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Gavad Dazar Kai Gavna. There's a Gemara, there's a halacha similar regarding Avodah Zarah. Because we learned, Holchin, the rich life of Mazalus, you're allowed to go to a marketplace of the Nachrim. The Loichim Behema Avodim Shvachas, Batim Sodom Vekramos, we're allowed to do all sorts of business, buy all sorts of items. The Kais of Malabar Koshalem, and we are allowed to have these registered in their courts. And even though, way some explain, the issue is that by doing so, you will cause them to go thank their Avodah Zarah for helping them do a good business deal. Or others explain that Loch is Eila Mishpatim Ashutasim Lufneim. The Pasuk begins the Parashat Mishpatim. And from that we learn Lufneim V'loy Lufnei Akum. They were only allowed to go to a Jewish court. We may not go to a non-Jewish court. Here, says the Gemara, we're allowed to go have it registered in that fashion, because if we won't, and if there's any claim, we won't have proper documentation to back up our claim. So we see that even though normally we try to avoid doing business with them, certainly around the time of the holidays, certainly if it involves going to non-Jewish court, if there is no other option, then we could be lenient. Says the Rav, Shar l'chibar esher l'migdal orei b'chol demoyed. He allowed them to make fish nets to catch fish achol moyed. My tamah masa hedjetu. Doing so was considered a maisa hedjet. Avil isli to make the nets to catch birds. That is osur. Why is that osur? My tamah. That's a maisa umenu. And only a maisa hedjet is mutter, not a maisa umen. Rav Yehuda Sharlav Ami Tanurua, there was a person called Ami who used to build ovens, Lemigdal Tanure, to build an oven of Cholomoid. Rav Ba'asri, Lemigdal Mulosoi, he allowed him to make a sieve on Cholomoid. Ask the Gemara, Eni, is that true that you're allowed to build a furnace, an oven of Cholomoid? Ask the Gemara, Tani Rav Ba'ashmul, for Shoven, everybody agreed that even Shein Goyim Tanel Chatchila, we're not allowed to make an oven in the first place of Chol Hamoed. Answered the Gemara like Kasha. Kamen Maisachama. In the summer, where they made the oven out of clay. So since they made the oven out of clay, it has to be dried. But in the summer, when it's hot, it dries quickly. And since it dries quickly, it will be usable on Chol Hamoed and Yontif. And therefore, we can build the oven on Chol Hamoed. Kamen Maisach Shamim. Chol Hamoed Sukkos, where the weather is not that dry, and therefore things don't dry quickly. So if we're going to build something on Chol Hamoed, it won't be ready until after Yontif. Since it won't be ready until after Yontif, we may not build it, we therefore may not build it on Chol Hamoed Sukkos.